Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, Behavior of a Perfect Person. And the first verse on the board is text number 41. But it has no purport. So we'll just read the verse. My Lord, sometimes I bathe myself very nicely, smear sandalwood pulp all over my body, put a flower garland, and dress in fine garments and ornaments. Then I travel like a king on the back of an elephant, or in a chariot, or a horse. Sometimes, however, I travel naked, like a person haunted by a ghost. Text 42. Naham ninde na chastami stomi. Svabhava vishamam janam. Etesham shreya ashase. Utai kamyam mahatmani. Na, not. Aham, I. Ninde, blaspheme. Na, nor. Cha, also. Stomi, praise. Svabhava, whose nature? Vishamam, contradictory. Janam, a living entity or human being. Etesham, of all of them. Shreya, the ultimate benefit. Ashase, I pray for. Uta, indeed. Aikatnyam, oneness, Mahatmani, in the Supersoul, the Param Brahman, Krishna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Different people are of different mentalities, because it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Purport. As soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, is the goal of life. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sarmahatma Sudurlabaha. This is the instruction of all Vedic literature, Vedaischa Savara, Ahameva Vedya, Sarva Dharma Prajaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. There is no use in praising someone for material qualifications or blaspheming him for material disqualifications. In the material world, good and bad have a meaning, have no meaning. Because if one is good, he may be elevated to a higher planetary system. If one is bad, he may be degraded to the lower planetary systems. People of different mentalities are sometimes elevated and sometimes degraded. But this is not the goal of life. Rather, the goal of life is to become free from elevation and degradation and take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a saintly person does not discriminate between that which is supposedly good and supposedly bad. Rather, he desires for everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life. Naham ninde na cha stomi svabhava vishamam janam etesham shreya ashase utai kam kyatmyam mahatmani. Different people are of different mentalities. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping they will agree to become one with the Supersoul, Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yanisha sarabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashuto mune. What is night for all sentient beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. What is not the time of awakening for all beings is a night for the introspective sage. And in the purport, Prabhupada describes that for materialists who are asleep to their spiritual identity, the goal of sense gratification is the purpose of their life. And for one who is awakened to self-realization, they see that the people are simply in striving for sense gratification are just wasting their time. Shrama evahi kevalam. Therefore, the dividing point is what we think is our purpose. What is our goal of life? Chintyam apareyam cha pralayantam upashitya kama pavoga paramam etavam iti nischita. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is a prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement of their anxiety. In other words, if one identifies oneself with this gross and subtle body, then one will think that sense gratification is the whole purpose of existence. Sense gratification could take on different forms. Sometimes people may even fight in a battle and become a great hero. That's also kind of sense gratification if it's not done for Krishna, because the false ego thinks I've become a great hero. But actually, as Krishna says, that neither living entity, prakriti kriyamanani, that the living entity under the spell of prakriti or the material nature, prakriti kriyamanani, gunai karmani sarvashaha, ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The living entity under the spell of false ego thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by the modes of material nature. And the false ego can be so great but that when the demigods and the demons fought on the ocean of the shore of the ocean of milk during a great battle, sometimes it was found that while fighting, some of the demons, they got their heads chopped off. But they were so much identified with the battle that in their subtle form, they picked up their dead body and continued on fighting. So that's called false ego. Similarly, the false ego is more or less what rules most people's lives, that I am this body, and whatever the body desires, even the mental body, because the six senses include the mind, whatever the mind wants, then my duty is to use my intelligence in order to gratify that desire, satisfy the desire. There's the desires of the gross body, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and they have their limit. You can only eat so much. You can only sleep so much. You can only have so much sex. And defending is only up to a degree is possible. But the mind can create all kinds of desires that one can work for lifetimes trying to fulfill. So, generally speaking, the mind and the intelligence are what drives the soul in the material world towards the 8,400,000 species of life. Sometimes, as it says here, one may become a demigod, just like when one is on a Ferris wheel. Sometimes you're on the top, but you're not going to stay on the top because the Ferris wheel is going to go down and you're going to find yourself on the bottom. And when you're on the bottom, you're not going to stay on the bottom because the Ferris wheel will go up and you'll go up again. But if you spend your whole life on the Ferris wheel, then you're just going to waste your time. There's another life outside the life of the Ferris wheel. So in the material world, everyone is thinking, I become a good person, or I become a bad person, or I'm a good person because I'm a bad person. Some people think like that. That out of all the thieves, I'm the best thief, so therefore I'm a good thief. Or as I said, in Africa, South Africa, there's a group of people who think, a tribe, they think that if you're alive, you're good, and if you're dead, you're bad. So if you kill the enemy, then you're good because you're still alive. Because he's dead, he's bad.
So
there's not much philosophy applied to life. It makes life quite simple. Just stay alive and kill your enemy and you're good. But the other side, one may become a demigod, but one is still a thief. One is still in the mentality that I'm the lord of the material nature. If you claim yourself to be the lord of the material nature, or you claim yourself to be lord over something that you're actually not the lord of, then you're a thief. So similarly, the demigods, generally speaking, they recognize that they're Krishna's servants, but there's an element of trying to enjoy Krishna's property. Or the false ego, that I'm a servant, but I'm also something other than Krishna's servant. So as long as we maintain that false ego, then we have to go up and down in the material energy. Unam pramata kurute vikarma et indriya pritya aprinoti nisaru manye yat atmaro yam asanna pi kleshida ashadeha. It's indeed amazing, unam pramata, that people are so crazy. Ghostly haunted, Prabhupada used to say. We may think we're quite sane, respectable, whatever else, but the conditioned soul is ghostly haunted. The mind is like a ghost. Ghosts are in a subtle body, they're in their mind, and we're carrying around our own ghost. Those who are killed sometimes, or commit suicide, or killed under unfavorable circumstances, sometimes they become a ghost. But we don't have to become a ghost. We're already ghostly haunted. We have our ghost, our mind, within ourselves, constantly haunting us. The mind goes, boo, and we go, no, mind, please don't. Boo, oh, it's too much, I give up. What do you want? Boo, 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 oh, okay, whatever you say. You're always right. My mind can't be wrong. It's my mind. Mind. So we're the conditioned soul is ghostly haunted because the mind won't leave one alone, and unless one comes to the state of knowledge, one is simply a faithful servant of the mind. Therefore, Prabhupada says, until one comes to the state of bhakti yoga, then one is simply ghostly haunted by the mind. Bonam janmanam ante, gyanam amam prabhadyante, vasudeva sarvamiti saramahatma sudurlabaha. Such a great soul is quite rare, one who actually understands that my mind isn't everything. Vasudeva, Krishna is everything. I shouldn't follow my mind, I should follow Krishna. So that comes from manmana bhavamadbhakto. Before we come up to the state of sarva dharma praja, giving up everything and surrendering to Krishna, giving up all our material desires or all our material conceptions and surrendering to Krishna. Now even sarva dharma praja doesn't happen all at once, because it says in the purport that anukulyasya sankalpe, just the idea of accepting things favorably for Krishna consciousness, it's quite an advancement for the conditioned soul in bhakti yoga. So when the conditioned soul comes and hears about Krishna, hears that he's a spiritual being, then he may agree to take up some sadhana bhakti, some process. That he may take his mind for a moment or a minute or whatever away from material desires and try to put it on Krishna. Thinking, feeling, willing, when he becomes more inspired, he not only hears about Krishna, hears the holy name, but also tries to understand things properly, which is even further advancement. Try to understand what we've heard, and then when we understand it, actually put it into practice. Baba, Madhbhakto, try to actually become Krishna's servant. Of course, putting into practice may not necessarily mean that the person who's putting it to practice is necessarily doing it to become a servant of Krishna. There may be other motivations too, that we hear the glories of Krishna, he's so rich, and he's so wonderful, so beautiful. Well, maybe I can get something from Krishna too. Just like the thief, he heard the glories of Krishna, and he heard this boy is just full of jewels. His mother, Jasoda, dresses him every morning and puts jewels all over his body. So he thought, wow, all in one place, I can get rich. Just one little boy and covered with jewels, I just got to get find that little boy and take his jewels and I'll be rich. So he was determined, he went to Vrindavan, and he was really looking around for this boy. Have you seen Krishna, this little boy, son of Mother Jasoda, you know, the one with all the jewels on his body? Do you know where he is? So he was looking all over in Vrindavan. Hey, Krishna, hey, Gopal. And so Krishna recognized his great determination to find him, and he appeared before the man, the thief. And the thief said, hey boy, give me your jewels. Krishna said, no, I can't. Why not? Give it to me. Mother Jasoda will be angry. Oh, give me the jewels. And Krishna said, no, I can't, because Mother, I would like to give it to you, but Krishna, my mother will be angry, and I'll get into trouble. So there's a big argument going on. Finally, the man fell in love with Krishna. And he said, all right, you can keep the jewels. And Krishna, no, I'll give you a few jewels. One time. So, everyone is thinking, yeah, let me get something from Krishna. Oh, those who are advanced, Chatura Vidabhajante Mam Jana Sikridi Arjuna Artha Jignasi Artharati Jnani Chaparatarshiva. The demigods are considered to be Sakama devotees. That is, they are performing service to Krishna, but they want something in return. Power, longevity, wealth, whatever it is. And Krishna reciprocates. But when one gets a little bit more knowledge, then one realizes that the goal of life is not simply to get something from Krishna, whether it be that of a demigod or a devotee on this planet or in any planet, but it is to become conscious of Krishna. So that desire to become conscious of Krishna, that's the beginning of actual possibility of entering into spiritual life, getting knowledge about Krishna consciousness. That it's before we become conscious of Krishna, first we have to get knowledge of Krishna consciousness. We have to understand the science, the spiritual science of pure devotional service, the techniques of pure devotional service. Otherwise, we may imagine that we're conscious of Krishna just because we're doing activities, but that doesn't mean we're actually thinking about Krishna with devotion. Therefore, in the beginning, one is desirous of, I need freedom from distress, my mind. I'll put my mind on Krishna if my mind stops bothering me for a while. And then when it's not bothering me, then I think, hey, what can I do to get some gratification around here? Then the mind starts bothering us again. Then we think, all right, I don't want my mind to bother me anymore. I'll think about Krishna. And when my mind doesn't bother, hey, was anything to eat around here? So that's called bhogatyaga, alternating sense, enjoyment, and renunciation. And then after a while, one gives that up and thinks, all right, let me do something positive in the mode of goodness so I can gratify my senses and my mind won't disturb me. I'll do it in a very regulated way, exacting way, and follow the rules and regulations, and I'll be able to enjoy in the material world. Until one gets bored of the so-called material enjoyment, it's punat punas charvada charvananam, chewing the same thing day after day, one thinks, is there anything better? And then one may hear about the heavenly planets, whatever, get some knowledge, and then one may actually hear about the process of liberation. More knowledge. That if I get free from all material desires, all material conceptions, then I can live forever in a consciousness where I realize I'm eternal and all my material anxieties will go away forever, supposedly. So that's what the jnanis are supposed to strive for. And the jnani bhakta, he realizes Manmana Bhava Madhvakto, that all right, the highest conception I can get by hearing about Krishna and fixing my mind upon Krishna is to get free from all material conceptions of life. Manmana. So one is willing to put the mind on Krishna to get liberation. Even some Mayavadis, well, I should say the impersonalists, they sometimes even fix their minds upon Krishna in order to get liberation. And then after they get liberation, they just throw Krishna away. We don't need Krishna because we are Krishna. So that jump between simply thinking about Krishna and Bhava, Madhbhava, Manmana Bhava Madhbhakto, to develop the attitude or the mood of actually trying to become a devotee of Krishna, that's, as Krishna says, very rare. That's really the pinnacle of knowledge. Simple, but very rare, that I should become Krishna's devotee. Giving up all these other conceptions that my aim is something other than just to please Krishna and his representatives. But even one becomes a devotee of Krishna, trying to become a devotee of Krishna, then one has to try to worship Krishna. Become a worshiper of Krishna. Yaji. So that's not easy also, because generally we worship Krishna and then we think that I'm also worshipable too. We try to become Krishna's devotee, but we're also thinking we're great devotees because we're trying to become Krishna's devotee. As one devotee once wrote to Srila Prabhupada, could I demand to see Krishna? And Prabhupada wrote back, he said, how could I demand to see Krishna? If I examine my qualifications to see Krishna, I'll find out I have no qualifications. All I have is disqualifications. But my spiritual master is dragging me home. So to actually, amanina madhidena kirtini yaksidare, to actually have this mentality of offering all respects to others, becoming appreciative and almost to the point of worshiping others, but not desiring respect for oneself. Because otherwise there'll be that tinge of, at least a tinge of false ego, that I need some mental gratification in exchange for becoming Krishna's devotee. And madhyajima namaskaru, when one actually becomes humble and realizes one's dependency upon Krishna, then one has made a lot of advancement. Then one can actually think about Krishna without any impediment. Then one can complete the process of Sharanagati. That is, not only accept things favorable, give up things unfavorable, our false ego especially, and our false desires, and actually believe that Krishna will maintain me and protect me. That I've given up everything and now I'm defenseless. I'm shelterless. No, to actually believe Krishna will, if we surrender to Krishna, he'll actually give us shelter so that at least he'll protect us spiritually and maintain us spiritually as well as whatever he thinks necessary externally or materially. Then we'll actually have no interest outside of Krishna's interest. And we'll always feel meek and humble. Then we can give up everything and surrender to Krishna, except for the fact that we may be attached to false associations. Even we give up so many things in the material world, still we may maintain our affection, my country, my family, my body, my affection for these things. And therefore we still have these attachments for unwanted association. Even Bharat Maharaj, although he gave up affection for all his family, he gave up his beautiful wife, his children, just like one gives up stool after passing it, went into the forest and fell in love with a deer. Because he didn't realize that tendency towards affection, so wanting to be appreciated or appreciate others in the material world, is so subtle that one can fall victim to it even when one is nearing the perfectional stage. So, to have no interest outside of Krishna's interest and to always feel meek and humble, then one also has to give up any kind of association, simply become faithful to Krishna under any circumstance, not get caught up in familiar and other types of association. Then one can actually surrender completely to Krishna. Although Krishna asked in the 1866 Arjuna to surrender to him through the process of Sharanagati, but the process is not completed until we give up all other association and simply, even in the midst of difficulty, remain fixed in our service to Krishna. Vichinna napi nichalyate. That even in the greatest difficulty, one remains undisturbed. That's the test of an actually advanced devotee, or a very advanced devotee. Then one will become inspired to preach, to give this gift to others, without fearing that one will become compromised oneself, because one will be fully determined with a meek heart, as it says here, not seeing people as good or bad, but seeing everyone as a potential servant of Krishna, and therefore trying to do good for them, just like Prahlad Maharaj said, Naiva dvije paradharatya vaitaranyas tvavirya gayana mahamrita magna chita sachevi mukacheta se indriyarta maya sukhayam bharam udvato vimudan. That, my dear Lord Nrisingadev, you're offering me all these benedictions, but I'm already emerged into the ocean of your pastimes in spiritual ecstasy all the time. All I'm doing is tasting happiness in different ways by thinking about you. So what more do I need than that? But, so chevi mukacheta se indriyarta, I'm still feeling sorry for these fools and rascals who invented these so-called civilization, but they're actually super fools because they're devoid of love for you. And I'm making plans to help them. So we may not be on the platform of Prahlad Maharaj. We may not be even on, we may be struggling to just think about Krishna, to hear about Krishna, and not have some material desires. Or we may be trying to become Krishna's devotee, and we may find it very difficult. There are so many impediments to actually try to do things just to please Krishna, just to please Krishna's representatives. Or we may actually try and be worshiping Krishna, fixing our mind upon Krishna and give our love to him. Or we may even try to, you know, have some realization that I'm actually just an instrument of 1/10,000th the size of Tipaharan's size. Whatever I can do for Krishna, I'm simply his instrument. I don't need any credit for it. Or we may be on the platform, we've surpassed that, and we're interested in Sharanagati, how to deepen our surrender to Krishna, how to become more and more absorbed as an instrument for Krishna. And then we may recognize my faulty association, my affection for so many things outside of Krishna, outside of service to Krishna, and we may try to give that up. Then we can go out, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, with the meek and humble heart, and try to help others come to the same platform that we've achieved, becoming Krishna conscious, and becoming aware of Krishna's unlimited beauty and love he has for all living entities. But even if we're on any one of these platforms, if we try to sincerely follow sadhana bhakti and help others, although it may only be as a matter of duty, help others become Krishna conscious, even as a matter of duty, that's a big lift to perfection. That we don't have to go through every single stage. Just by accepting the fact that we're the servant of the servant of Krishna, and actually trying to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, it's the super elevator towards perfection. So that's what initiation is supposed to mean. It's supposed to mean we've surrendered our false ego, and now we're only going to be Krishna's servant for now on. Of course, many devotees, they have fingers crossed at the time of initiation. So it may not be with full determination, conviction, or even any understanding. But somehow or another, if one can take that seriously, then one, even for a little while, then one will be greatly benefited by that consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I'm just wondering, Maharaj, you said that even accepting favorable things, even that is difficult. And that now in the end you said that if we engage ourselves in Lord Chaitanya's mission, that this is super elevator. So if somebody new comes, it's the best way to engage him in the service first without even telling him about the favorable things or
what. Well, service means also hearing. That Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, there are 9 processes of service, but it begins with hearing. Because activity performed in knowledge strengthens one's advancement in real knowledge. So we want people, first of all, to hear about Krishna. Not that someone walks into the temple, we give them a book bag, and we say, go out and distribute some books, come back. I mean, that sometimes it happens, and if they were willing to do that, they'd be greatly benefited. But generally speaking, we want people to hear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead first, and that we're his servants, convince them of that. And then service will naturally follow after that. But if someone comes and they will, you know, and they have nice association, and there's time to clean the temple after the feast or something, and they are willing to help out, then it's great advancement for them. Serving. But they should know what they're doing. And that would be even more advancement. It's like Prabhupada was asked, if you distribute prasadam to someone, and they don't know it's prasadam, will they actually make spiritual advancement? Prabhupada said, no. There's no question. But at least even if they come back as an animal, they'll be able to get some prasadam in the next lifetime. That to actually make spiritual advancement, one has to know that the prasadam is Krishna. It's not different from who is Krishna's energy. Or Krishna. Not different from Krishna, it's prasadam. So that one will think about Krishna while one is eating. And it's thinking about Krishna. By thinking about Krishna, we spiritually advance. Or even if we relish prasadam, thinking that it's Krishna's energy, that's spiritual advancement. But if we eat it as ordinary food, then it'll appear to be ordinary food to us. So it's our consciousness. We're trying with the society for Krishna consciousness, not for society for working consciousness. Or for prasadam consciousness. Or for Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.